That's the reason that prompted me to say a few words here. We're going to go through Ezekiel 38 and 39 as far as the timing, to see if the timing is correct according to him, according to a well-known author in Adventism by the name of Frank Holbrook, according to many, many authors, one of which Steve Wahlberg identified by holding up a book where a man was talking about, referring to Gog as Russia. Russia would be coming down against Israel. They expect that to happen in the near future. All the Protestant world, they don't realize, and I'm thankful that Steve exposed some of the error caught by this group of people. God deals with Israel. When you read in the Bible today about Israel, that's talking about his people. That's not talking about the nation of Israel over there, mainly made up of Jewish people. The time element for the Jewish people ended in AD 34. The 490 years that were allotted to the Jewish people ended in AD 34. Now, when you read about Israel in the Bible, you're talking about God's people. It makes no difference what kind of blood flows through their veins. They can be a pygmy out in some island somewhere, only 4'7" tall. They're just as safe to save as Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It makes no difference what kind of blood flows through their veins. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heir according to the promise. All the promises were given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can claim those. To my knowledge, I don't have any Jewish blood in me. It makes no difference. The important thing, do I belong to Christ? If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now Steve would agree with all of that, what I just said. But the timing, I firmly believe that he never read Ezekiel 38 and 39 for him to come to the conclusion that this portion of Scripture is after the millennium, after the 1,000 years in heaven, after New Jerusalem comes down in the wicked assemble. He never read Ezekiel 38 and 39 to come to that conclusion. We're going to read those chapters there, and we'll see. Let you decide what the timing, when it occurred, that God the Father says those words, it is done. Now, Frank Holbrook, a well-known author, I don't know all the roles that he's had in leadership, many high position offices I'm sure he's held. One time I might have known. But I do remember in 1991, the Sabbath School Quarterly was authored by Frank Holbrook. He said, referring to Ezekiel 38 and 39, that it was something that could have happened, but it didn't. And he sees no significance for any future application of Ezekiel 38 and 39. Now, Steve Wahlberg says, oh yes, Ezekiel 38 and 39 are in the future, but it's after the millennium. Now you have the Protestant world. What are they saying? They're saying, oh yes, These two chapters apply to the future, but it applies to Russia. When the very near future, they're going to come down against Israel. Now, all these different views can't be the same. I mean, they're not the same, certainly not the same, but they all can't be correct. The Bible will explain the correct timing. And we're going to do that just now. But there was one verse of Scripture that Steve read, and I'm going to turn to that. It's in 2 Timothy 2. It'll be 2 Timothy 4, I'm sure. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He's talking to Timothy, a young preacher. Second verse, chapter 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, Steve Wahlberg was obedient. He helped the book up written by this Protestant, probably a Baptist author, exposing the error that this man was teaching, that Gog is Russia, and they were going to come down against Israel. Steve was being obedient to Scripture. He was rebuking. He was reproving. Let's read on here. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Now, doctrine, the only place you can get doctrine, true doctrine, is out of the Holy Word of God, out of the King James Version of the Bible, from Ellen White. Same author inspired both of these writings. You can't take another man's writings. You can't go back to a broken cistern to quench your thirst. You have to go to the Word of God for that. And that's exactly where we're going to go, to the Word of God to quench our thirst. And we'll know for sure the timing is not after the 1,000 years. We know for sure, after reading these two chapters, that Gog is not Russia, and Israel, when it speaks of Israel here in these chapters, it's talking about God's true people, whoever they are, whatever blood is flowing through their veins. I remember a harlot. She didn't have the right kind of blood flowing through her veins. Rahab. But her name is listed over there in Hebrews among the faithful. Absolutely. We're going to turn to Revelation 16:17, when God the Father says those words there, and get the timing as to when He says it is done. Revelation 16:17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." Now, when God the Father, sitting on his throne, and his voice comes roaring down through that open space in Orion, saying the words, "It is done," it is during the seventh trumpet, the seventh plague, or in process. Now, let me flip over to Revelation. I'm going to give you a couple of verses before we go to Ezekiel. But God the Father in Ezekiel also says those words, "It is done." But let me give you the timing here. We will nail this down that a child can understand it. And believe it or not, that's the way God's Word has always been. It's so simple a child can understand it. When Jesus spoke to the people, it says the common people heard Him gladly, and they didn't even need a dictionary. Aren't you thankful that Jesus spoke like that? Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The mystery of God is the plan of salvation. It is all over with when God speaks. Flip over to Revelation 11, verse 15 there. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Absolutely. When God the Father speaks, It's not going to be done in some little secret corner of the world, some little pocket where only a portion of the world will hear him. He's going to shake down every building and every wall. Every insect will know it. The fishes of the sea will know it. We're going to read those words there. Excuse me. We're going to read those very words. I'm not going to dilute them one bit. We're going to read them just as it says it, as we read those chapters, Ezekiel 38 and 39. But the timing when God the Father speaks is during the seventh trumpet, very early, when it will begin to sound. Let's flip over now to Ezekiel 39. We're going to begin at 38, but I'm going to start right here for a second in 39 to give you the timing that God does say it is done. Verse 39, verse 7. So I, now I here is God. God the Father is talking to the wicked. After probation has closed, during the seven last plagues, that's all Ezekiel 38 and 39 is God talking to the wicked during the seven last plagues. So I'll begin it again, verse 7. So I, that's God, so will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. The wicked have done it for 6,000 years. Satan has told barefaced lies. He has convinced scores and scores, thousands and millions of people to believe his lies. That God's Ten Commandments cannot be kept. That God's government is unfair. Nation after nation has polluted God's name, but no longer. You've done it long enough. 6,000 years is enough. I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Verse 8, behold, it has come, and it is done. That's God the Father talking. Behold, it is come, and it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereon I have spoken. Did he tell us anywhere in his word that he was going to speak like this? Did he promise us anywhere that he was not only going to shake the earth, but he was going to shake the heavens too? Did God the Father promise us that? Can we count on him? Absolutely we can. So he will say it is done, coming down from his throne. We know that. And it's during the seventh trumpet, seventh plague, that he does that. But now, let's drive another stake here to give you some more solid footing. Let's drop down to verse 2 of Ezekiel 39. And I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come from the north part. Remember, he's talking, when it says I, that's God talking. He's talking thee, that's the wicked. He's talking to all of them. I'm going to turn you back and cause you to come from the north part. Anybody remember Daniel 11? Here comes the king of the north right here. The timing is absolutely perfect. I will cause thee to come up from the north part and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. This whole group of people, we're going to read about who this group is. Oh, there are many tribes there that Gog is in charge of. He's the guard over all of them. But now let's read the margin of what it says right here. Remember, the margin is just as inspired. This is the King James Version. Just as inspired as the Bible itself. The translators could have used either words. So the margin is God's holy word speaking to us. And what does it say? Or strike thee with six plagues. Who is the plagues directed against? It's against the wicked. God's people are protected during the plagues. 1,000 will fall at thy left hand and 10,000 at thy right, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's Psalm 91. God's 144,000 people are protected during the plagues. That's all of God's people that remain upon the earth, 144,000 people. All the remaining people have either abandoned their faith or they all went through the grave. Many people will lose their lives during the loud cry period. Many martyrs will die for their faith. But they're trusting in Jesus. He says, be faithful to death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Anybody listening to my voice, you cling to that, because many people will die in the near future. And every accusation possible can be brought forth against you will be brought forth by some of your friends, some members in your own church, some leadership. No, they didn't leave the church. We read those words and hear the paraphrase, some of our brightest lights will go out. No, they didn't leave the church. They only abandoned their position. They stayed right there in the church to deceive and mislead. I don't want to get sidetracked here from Ezekiel 38 and 39. I've already had a season of prayer, and I asked God to confuse my mind if I ventured with any speculation, anything away from God's holy word and from His inspired counsel in Ellen White. And I'm certainly not ashamed to use Ellen White. Now, these evangelists, somebody's instructed them, don't use her, don't quote her from the pulpit. But it's probably self-evident that they don't read her in private to be so far off base. You know what happens when you get off base? You get tagged out. When your timing is all wrong, nothing is in harmony. The timing here is after the wicked have suffered the effects of six plagues, because God has a hook in their jaw. And we're going to read about this hook that's in the jaw of the wicked. When we get over to Ezekiel 38, God told them right up front that He's got a hook in their jaw. And He'll stop them dead in their tracks just at the right time. And then immediately after the sixth trumpet, sixth plague, then God the Father speaks and says those words, it is done. That is the timing of these two chapters. It is not Russia. Gog is not Russia coming against literal Israel, composed mainly of Jewish people. Gog is associated with the wicked, the people that have the mark of the beast. There's only two groups of people in the world at this point. It's the people that have the mark of the beast and the people that have the seal of the living God. And that is the 144,000. And when I'm speaking of it, it's the Philadelphian church. Because not one Laodicean will be saved. No question about it. You don't need the spirit of prophecy to explain that to you, that the Philadelphians are the 144,000. Just read your Bible. Read there. Revelation 3 tells about the Philadelphians have their Father's name in their forehead. Look over there in Revelation 14. Same language. But if you want to go to Ellen White, you can nail this down so beautifully. When the time when she failed to give counsel like she should have, and she was struck dumb, and she saw the frown of Jesus, she couldn't speak for a few days. As soon as she came out of vision, as soon as she was able to speak again, she went off into vision. And the verses linking the 144,000 with the Philadelphians was those 50 verses that she quoted verbatim, held this Bible up over her head and took her finger and pointed to these verses one at a time, quoted every one of them, all 50 verses. Two verses right together, linking the 144,000 with the Philadelphians. Absolutely. So the timing here for Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not after the millennium. It is not Russia coming down against literal Israel. It is God talking to the wicked during the seven last plagues. Now, a child could understand that if it wasn't for false shepherds cranking out books in Adventism to mislead. The deception that is taught from the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven plagues and the seven thunders, a child could understand these words if it wasn't for the deception. And I've almost have a book cover already, so... But on the front of that cover there, I found an old book of Ellen White. You won't find any words anywhere else. I think it's called Special Testimonies to Education. But in there you'll find the words about degrees. When Rome suffered the deadly blow of the Reformation caused by the Reformers, Rome lost a lot of ground. By inch, she began to recover. And when the pilgrims came to America, most of the shackles with Rome was completely broken. The only one shackle that remained was in the area of education, about the conferring of degrees